Remember that every time you hear in the gospel, when the main character is not named, the gospel writer means for us to put ourselves there. So the woman of Samaria who comes to the well that we hear of today, she has no name because we are that woman. It is no surprise that the woman at the well felt deeply that she was missing something. Something in her life was missing. And all of us have this deep sense of longing, this deep sense of things are not quite there. We live life here on earth and we can never be quite satisfied. We all yearn for something that we may not be able to name it. And what it is really is God. Because God created us in His likeness and image, when He formed us by the clay and then breathed into it so that our very soul is the breath of God. That is why our soul is immortal, whereas our bodies will die and decay. But our soul will go on because our soul is the breath of God. And when God created us with instilling His breath into our being to give us life, He put us in the Garden of Eden. And every evening, God would go to the garden to take a walk with humanity, represented by Adam and Eve. And the scripture would describe this beautiful scene in Genesis. Every evening at a certain hour, God would come to take a stroll in the Garden of Eden with a little breeze going, and they would walk together. But when paradise was destroyed by sin, that is no more. So now the rest of us, humanity, for until we go to heaven, until the end of time, we will miss that. Our soul, the breath of God in us, will yearn and long for that stroll together with God in the Garden of Eden, in paradise that is no more. So there's no surprise that we are missing something. And like the woman at the well, we grab, we try to fill this missing, this hole in our soul, this yearning with anything we can in order to experience that satisfaction that is oh so close and yet so far away. And like the woman at the well, we've all have had more than five husbands. The woman at the well was trying to fill that hole up, thinking that if I have a man, I would be satisfied. We all know, especially I hope all of the young women in the church, you should know, no man can make you happy. So don't be looking at a man and say, I'm going to get married, fall in love, and he's going to make me happy. No man can do that for you. And I'm telling the men here, you all, the men who are married here know this. And the man who's looking to get married, you need to know this. If a woman comes to you and say, you are my beloved, I love you, you're going to make me happy, you say, no, I cannot make you happy. No man can make another person completely satisfied. No such person exists here on earth. So you men who have women come to you and say, "You are the one. You're going to make me happy." You will say, "No, I cannot. But I can bring you to someone who will fill that missing for you." That's how it's supposed to work. In any case, this woman, that's us, she tried to fill up this hole in her soul with one man, didn't work. Second man, didn't work. Third man, didn't work. After five men, still was not working. And she was trying out the sixth at the moment. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are doing this all the time. We've had more than five husbands. You want me to name them for you? We've all have had things in our lives that we prefer over Jesus. Candy Crush, video games, YouTube, social media, coffee, chocolate. Six right there. I don't even have to think. TV, sport teams, Lakers, Disneyland, you name them. We all in our lives have preferred something else over Jesus. We are that woman. Not just five husbands, my brothers and sisters. We've had many and still accumulating more, because like that woman, we're reaching, we're grabbing, we're doing anything we can to fill up that longing, that yearning, that hole in our soul. But there's only one person that can fill that for us. Until, like the woman in the story, until we recognize that. When this woman met Jesus at the well, that hole, that missing, was filled up. How do we know this? Well, we know this because at the beginning of the story, she came out to the well in the middle of the day where, you know, in that region of the world, extremely hot. Everybody at noontime will be in the house, in the shades. Nobody goes outside. But this woman came to the well knowing that no one is going to be there, because she did not want to see anyone, because she knew that she was doing something wrong. By trying to grab any man she can grab to fill up that hole in her soul, it hasn't worked. She's still trying, and she knows it's wrong. She had this shame in her being. So she chose to go out to the well in the middle of the day, knowing that nobody's gonna be there. Because she was ashamed. And I'm talking about the kind of shame that Adam and Eve, our foreparents, experienced the first time when they remember God coming into the garden and stroll with them, have a walk with them in the breeze every evening at a certain time in paradise. But once they have sinned, that particular day, when God came for their regular walk, they were nowhere to be found. Where were they? They were hiding behind the bush. Because they knew that they have done wrong. They are no longer worthy to walk with God in the Garden of Eden. They were hiding from God, saying, "We are so ashamed. How good you have been to us, and how terrible we are to you, God. We are no longer worthy to walk with you in the garden. Yes, the breeze is blowing, you are here, but we are ashamed. We are behind the bush. Don't look at us, God. Please." This is the shame I'm talking about. The shame where we are the woman at the well, when we in our lives grabbing, right? Filling up our lives with all sort of things in hope and knowing that would never happen, but we still do it, doing all of these worldly things. All the while we know that we are going about it wrongly. And so we go on drinking, becoming dependent on alcohol. Some of us go on becoming dependent on drugs. Some of us go on becoming dependent on sex. Some of us go on becoming dependent. We all become dependent on something. Except today, the woman met that someone. In fact, the only one that can fill that hole. Why? Because he is God. We are longing for something we cannot find here on earth, no matter how many husbands we fill up our life with. We are hungry and thirsty and longing for God. And until we meet him, we will continue to thirst. And so she came out in the middle of the day, shamed. And when she meets Jesus, who said to her, "Give me a drink," blew her mind. Because we, the woman, we are shamed because of what we are doing in our lives. And we are saying, like Adam and Eve, "Stay away from us, God. We cannot look at you. Don't look at us. We're embarrassed. In fact, all we have is fig leaf covering ourselves. Don't look at us. Don't walk with us." But what did Jesus say? "Give me a drink." In our shame, we hide away from God, and we do all these things knowing that they're wrong, but we keep doing them, running away from God. And God comes to us in Jesus and said, "You don't have to run away from me. In fact, give me a drink. Give me a drink. You are thirsting for me? Guess what? I, your God, am thirsting for you." We all know what happened to that woman after she did the right thing. What did she do, my brothers and sisters? She in turn said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water So I don't have to come here and drink from this well that makes me thirsty every time. Give me this water that fill up my soul. Fill up that hole in me, that longing, that yearning in me. Give me this water. And that's what we need to do. We need to stop hiding, running away because of our shame. Jesus has come to take our shame away. And so what changed in the woman? The woman who has been hiding from everyone went back to town and said, "Come, come look at the man who fills my soul." If we allow Jesus to fill up our soul, there's nothing else in the world can. No man, no woman, no nothing. Only Jesus. If we turn to Jesus and said, "Sir, give me this water to drink," we will change. The church will be packed. Everyone will be Christian. Everyone. But apparently, it's not happening yet. Everyone is not Christian. Because we are not going out there and say, "Hey, come and look at the man who took my shame away. Come and look at the man who fills me with the longing that nothing in the world can take away. Come." We're not doing that. Because if we're doing that, everyone would be Christian now. So here we are, my brothers and sisters, still grabbing, still hiding from God, still running away from God, still trying to fill this hole with anything else, while Jesus is saying to you, "Give me a drink." So today, as we enter the third Sunday of Lent, let us be the first Holy Family Church. How about that? Let the 11 o'clock Mass today be the first to turn to Jesus today and say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I'm ashamed. I've been living my life grabbing, doing all of these things, including sins, in order to run away from you. Please give me living water." And once you do that today, you're all going to go out and tell someone, "Come. Come with me to Mass next Sunday at 11 o'clock at Holy Family so that you can meet the man who will take away your shame and will fill that hole in your soul."